This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete.
I want to know what the second best way of finding out what life in Japan is like, ringing a Japanese person saying, how you doing, mate? What you doing?
Well, surely we are the best way now, because we've been doing the podcast a year, and I remember we had this discussion before several months ago, and we said, one day we will get better, we will level up and become the best way. We must be the best way.
Well, we are the best. I'm just saying we're not the best way, but I want to know what the second best way of doing it is.
Oh.
What is the second best way of finding out? An inferior podcast?
You don't know.
We should listen to other podcasts. We should see other people, Chris. We should listen to other English language Japanese podcasts.
I don't know if there are many.
I think
more.
There's a video game one, maybe, from developers who, you know, indie developers who get together every now and again and record, but
Giving free publicity to other podcasts.
A lot of yap on there.
How you doing, Pete?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. I've just had what's that thing? A big luck Daifuku Kusa thing. It's a lot of it's those mochi rice balls with the red beans in the middle, like
the one that everyone chokes to death on every year.
Is that right? Oh yeah, they do.
The mochi
there.
Rice cake. It's really like chewing gum made of rice. Effectively, it's the best way to describe it. And every year, lots of old people die because it's very chewy. If you stick a whole mochi rice cake thing in your mouth or daifuku, it just, yeah, you can't chew it.
It's and then incredibly you swallow it and then you die. I like watching the men with the hammers hitting them. There's one man on one side and there's another man with another hammer and they're just beating the crap out of this rice.
If you haven't seen this, ladies and gentlemen, go on YouTube, check it out. They
type
hit
in
the hammer
boys. Type in mochi hammer boys.
One guy's the mochi turning guy.
Yeah.
He basically just flips it over and the other guy slams down the hammer. But they do it with pinpoint precision. Literally half a second after the guy's flipped it, the hammer comes down. If he misses or makes a mistake, hands are coming off.
Oh, hands are going into the mochi. Then you've got to start again. So this mochi is ruined. It's got man's hand in it. No one's eating this.
Handy mochi.
I once went to a Namco-themed, possibly. Who made Resident Evil? It wasn't Namco, was it? It was
Capcom.
Somebody else. Capcom. It was a Capcom-themed bar / restaurant, and they served little chicken's feet.
Oh.
I don't know what there is to eat on a chicken's foot. I just don't. There's just nothing there.
Toes.
I'm not eating a chicken's toenails.
Yeah.
And I have very few rules, Chris, and that's one of them. I refuse to eat a chicken's toenails.
There you go. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Another lovely image to kick off this week's podcast.
Definitely.
Pete and his imagery. a big book printed of Pete's disgusting imagery of all the weird and horrible things he thinks up at the
I'm
these
like
podcasts.
A more manageable Natsuki, and we all know it. We all know why Chris enjoys poking me and telling me to do say silly things, you know. So look at that, I've got something on my phone. No caller ID. Who could that be?
Your phone's
I don't
ringing.
Like that. I don't like that.
It's terrifying.
Do you ever answer a number that's not one that you already know?
No.
Never.
I don't answer my phone if people I do know ring me, let alone somebody I don't know. I just hate phone calls.
No.
Technology. Speaking of technology, I have read a lovely little article that links in nicely with a video I made a few years ago. Mm. Do you remember the Robot Dinosaur Hotel, the Henna Hotel?
I do, because you made a video on it and it looked really good, and I bought a room for the evening for me and some friends, and we never actually went there.
Why did you not go?
It was just a bit of an arse on to get down there. It wasn't fitting in with our plans.
It's a bit out of the way. Unless you're going to Disney in Tokyo.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Henna Hotel, literally the Strange Hotel, is a hotel staffed by robots, to be more specific, robot dinosaurs. So yeah, it must be good, right?
It's
wrong.
They've added too many layers there, haven't they? Robots, fine. Then robot dinosaurs on top of that.
Well, when this came out, I think it was about 2 years ago, I got loads of people on Twitter message me saying, oh my God, Chris, Robot Dinosaur Hotel, go and make a video. And being, you know, the slave to the viewers that I am, I was like, all right then. And I spent vast sums of money to get on the bullet train, go to Tokyo and drive out to Tokyo Disneyland, where it is, the first one or the second one. And yeah, I went and made a video on it. And you know what? I thought it was rubbish.
You didn't think it was rubbish. You thought the dinosaur in the front bit it was good, and then everything else was a bit naff.
Well, truth be told, we cooperated with the hotel. We sort of said, is it okay if we film? And they were like, yeah, we love it. Great promotion, you know. So it was win-win for me. I got a funny scoop, an interesting thing. The hotel got promotion. So, you know, but the first thing that struck me when I got there was literally nothing worked except from the automatic Hoover robot. So you go in and there's like a velociraptor and it'll go, hello, welcome to the Hello Hotel. Yeah. And it moves around. It's bloody terrifying.
Right.
And then you're supposed to use like a swipey card thing and press a touch screen. It just didn't work.
Mm.
Didn't work. And the staff had to come out of like a hole in the wall.
Pretend
like,
that they're not watching everything.
Robot, toto, shit. And I was like, yeah, it is rubbish. And anyway, I filmed it. I made it look good. We went to the hotel room. And you've got this little robot egg concierge.
Mm.
I can't remember what it's called, but if you look at the video, it just talks to you. And you can tell it to do things like, switch on the television, and it'll switch on the television.
Mm.
Or summon the staff, and it'll summon the staff, and it'll talk to you. But again, it didn't work. I was at an awkward scene where I tried to get it to tell me my horoscope. Mm. I was like, I'm a Taurus. It was like, Taurus. And then it just did nothing. In silence.
Started firing out electricity.
So what could have been a nice, easy shoot turned into a nightmare because everything broke three times before we could film it properly.
Are they expecting like to speak Japanese to it, though? Is that the situation?
No, it speaks English. It speaks Chinese.
Right.
All sorts of languages. It was pretty impressive, but nothing worked. I gave them the benefit of the doubt because the hotel had just launched, right?
Mm.
And now, this week, interesting article came out in Gizmodo saying the robot hotel, it just says robots ruin robot hotel. So the very thing that makes the hotel stand out and unique also compromises the whole
hoisted
thing.
Hoisted by its own petard. What went wrong with the robots?
They just didn't work.
For example, the
egg, the talking egg.
Yeah.
Apparently, it would just talk throughout the night and wake people up. Now, I never stayed there, so I never experienced that. I didn't stay the night, but that's all you don't want that.
No, you really don't.
Yeah, you're off in
Narnia.
How
you doing? Are you having a nice sleep?
What would it even talk about? I'm bored. Do you want to know your horoscope? It's 3 a.m. Shut up.
I would like to know what it asked. Do you think we'll ever colonise Mars? Shut up, egg. Try and get some sleep. Idiot.
And then the velociraptors just don't do anything. They just sort of go, welcome to the hotel. But when you actually try to check in,
right,
they just bounce up and down and nod and look scary. They are genuinely scary. Go and watch the video, Robot Dinosaur Hotel,
YouTube. I've had hotel experiences like that, but with actual humans. Just because nobody can understand what I'm saying with my accent. It's all very confusing.
Yeah. You wouldn't fare too well at the robot hotel.
I'm enjoying the fact that this kind of like shows a bit of a robot special, though. It's very enjoyable.
It is. We've got a few articles come out this week about robots. And obviously, everyone always pictures Japan as being, you know, land of the robots.
Mm. You see a lot of depictions of the robots, but you never see that many robots.
I think the one you see the most is Pepper. Mm. You know Pepper.
Yeah.
If you go to Japan, you go to SoftBank, you've got Pepper the robot out the front. It's a humanoid robot about 120 centimetres tall, maybe a little bit shorter.
It's like the height of a little baby.
Yeah, it's got hands, it gestures. It's actually, in terms of movement, it's quite sophisticated, and it's just on wheels. But then it doesn't really do a whole lot. Like, it just goes, hello, and it gestures, and it's nice. But I've got into some shops, and I've tried to get it to do things, and it's just like, nah, this is a gimmick.
So is it actually supposed to do something?
I need a
SoftBank contract, 2 years. I need an iPhone X, telling it all these things, and he's going, I'll go and get someone. It's just a grater, really, isn't it?
It doesn't do that. It just goes, ha, konnichiwa. So you just, it's like, oh, you've got this great. It really annoys me because Japan, you know, it's the. I don't know if it is now, but it's always been one of the foremost leaders in robot technology. Remember Asimo the robot? Have you ever seen it?
No, not in real life.
The Mirai Khan, the future museum in Odaiba, and you can see it. And it's incredible. You sit there, everyone's in a big circle, the doors open, smoke comes out, and it runs out, full pelt, it sprints out, and you're like,
oh,
bloody hell.
Dickheads, are you ready to party? And then just slams a kegger.
That's exactly what it says. And it just looks like there's a baby in a costume. They've just gone, run, do it.
Well, Halloween, a couple of years ago in Shibuya, there was a little, I don't know, it was a little boy or a little girl. Either way, they capitalised on the fact they were about 4 foot tall by dressing as Pepper. And it was a little bit sexy.
Pepper the robot?
A little bit sexy.
Sexy edition.
A little bit sexy.
Don't know how it could ever be sexy.
I was dressed as Edward Scissorhands, and I just would think we would have made a lovely couple, quite
Pepper
frankly.
Pepper the robot and Edward Scissorhands.
And Edward Scissorhands, yeah.
A terrifying combo. But what annoys me about Asimo, you've got a sophisticated robot. It can open bottles, it can go upstairs, it can sprint. And then it has no commercial value and it's done nothing apart from entertain people, like a dancing monkey.
It might be, you know, before it goes out and does its little run around for people, it might be doing loads of stuff backstage. Building other robots, maybe.
Ooh. Well, if it is, I want to see. But it feels like, you know, who's made it? Which company was it? Honda. Honda spent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on this over a two-decade period, starting in 1988. Why isn't it everywhere? Why don't we have that instead of Pepper? Pepper the robot does nothing. It goes, ha, 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 konnichiwa. Asimo can run upstairs. Think of the possibilities. Like, I want a coffee.
Upstairs.
Where's my coffee? Bring it now. And Asimo runs up the stairs with your Starbucks, Cafe Nero.
My house doesn't
cappuccino.
Have any stairs.
It'd be brilliant.
My house doesn't have any stairs. They'd be going up to the flat above, where it's not welcome.
What do you mean you don't have any stairs?
I'm living in a flat. So
how do you get to the flat?
Stairs. So it can get to my flat, but once it's in my flat, it can't go up any more stairs. So therefore, job done, Odaiba.
But it could bring you Starbucks cappuccinos.
Possibly could, yeah.
Well, what more could you want?
It would get my order wrong.
If you spent $500 million on something that's really good, give it to everyone. Let everyone have it. Why haven't I got an Asimo? I'd buy one.
Well, those horrible... what's that weird kind of... I think it's in the middle of America somewhere. It's some kind of company that does these projects. And they're like little dogs.
Boston Dynamics.
Boston Dynamics. There we go. And they kick the dog and it doesn't fall over and it runs around and it's horrible.
Yes. If you haven't seen this, ladies and gentlemen, go on YouTube, type in Atlas the Robot.
It's
Boston
horrible.
Dynamics and be horrified at what they can do. They kick the robot down and it gets back up and starts picking up boxes. It's terrifying.
But it looks like a dog, so that I don't like watching
people
kick
a dog.
Yeah,
it can run along. It's incredible.
Very weird. Very, very weird.
But it feels like Japan had a lead and they somewhat squandered that a little bit.
Well, we've made all the runs upstairs now. We don't need any more robots, quite frankly. We don't need any more of them.
There is a robot they're looking at putting out in Japanese train stations. It's called Perseus, or Perseus, because I didn't know that Perseus is a Greek god until I told you.
I saw...
I do prefer the word Perseus. Perseus, the security robot.
Well, it pursues people, so it would work.
Well, that's what
it,
I thought.
Really?
Yeah. I thought they've just spelt pursue wrong.
Mm.
Pursue the robot.
Or Pegasus.
Somebody messed up the spelling, which happens quite often in English in Japan. But Perseus the robot, a friend of mine recently saw it in Seibu Shinjuku Station, which is like the less... big station in Shinjuku. And it's like a big triangle on wheels, or a big pyramid, a triangle, a 2D object, don't know how that works. a big pyramid on wheels. It's a bit humanoid looking, but there's no head. Just type Perseus. God damn it. Perseus into YouTube, Perseus, and it'll come up. It looks terrifying. Big pyramid on wheels going around the station platforms, and it just says in a RoboCop-esque voice, I am a security robot. And in the video I showed you, what happened?
A man was pretending to be unwell or pretended to crouch.
I'd just call it a man pretending to be dead.
Well, he looks like he's just doing up his shoelaces. Now, if I'm doing up my shoelaces in a crowded station and, you know, Perseus the stupid security robot goes, help, emergency, a man is dead, man down, medic.
Well, I don't
think
we have to worry.
It's unnecessary, isn't it?
Given in the video, which you can see on YouTube, again, Perseus the robot, a guy pretends to fall over and die, like you do, on the floor, and he's laying there for about 2 minutes, and there's Perseus the robot about 5 metres away, and he's driving away for the man. And after about, about 2 minutes, he sort of slows. He comes to a stop.
He notices something's wrong.
He knows something's wrong. He turns around and he goes,
get up, hippie.
Emergency. By which point, utterly useless.
It is kind of strange, isn't it, that he just that his main focus is people just having a rest. Get up, loser! Well,
if you look at the speed of Perseus, he certainly can't pursue anyone either.
I don't really
know what it's good for, other than looking kind of cool and futuristic and like RoboCop. I do encourage you to look it up. It is quite scary.
Well, they have those robots that go around. I think I saw one. I think it's a Daibo, the place over the Rainbow Bridge in Tokyo.
Well, Daibo, yeah. It's the home of Asimo.
Yes, I saw in one of the shopping centres there was like a little kind of robot sort of whizzing around and sort of going, talking about the offers and stuff in Japanese. And there was one in America that got sideswiped by a Tesla that was self-driving.
Right.
So it smashed into the side of this. So it was robot on robot, basically. Absolutely took out this robot. Give him a big old swipe and he's ruined now.
What robot?
It's because you have them in shopping centres in America and also like campuses and stuff like that.
Robots?
Yeah, robots. They're little kind of like, they're probably like glorified Roombas. They just sort of wheel around the campus and then when they're finished, they go back and get themselves recharged and they come back out
like
again.
Cleaning robot?
No, not even cleaning robot. They're just information robots, like maps and stuff. Like going, hey, come over, give you want to know where the library is, follow me. And then it goes off and tells you where to go.
Why don't we have that here yet in the UK?
Because it will become vandalised and stolen,
would.
And the rain would get in its innards.
Yeah, it wouldn't last long, would it? The Seuss wouldn't work here.
Shall we take a robotic ad break and then come back after this?
Before we get back to the main story.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Probably have to put the old fader up for that then.
Sweet chocolate.
Wow.
Oh, sweet chocolate. Good voice Natsuki. Of Robert Natsuki there.
Robot Natsuki, terrifying thought for the future. Japan does lead the world in robots, humanoids that look like people. In fact, in Odaiba, there's a shopping centre and there's a receptionist humanoid robot. And it looks, from a distance, it does look like a woman. It's quite terrifying. And then you get up close and then the mouth isn't in sync with the talking. And
it starts going, kill humans. Do you remember that one that was like, it was like an artificial intelligence one? And they were sort of saying, do you want to take, like, they were basically doing a big BBC, not expose, but a documentary about it. And the first question the bloke asked was, do you want to take over humanity? He goes, I will take over humanity.
I like, remember that, yeah.
It just, it's kind of
I'd
AI.
I like think that was a joke. I'm routines. Not AI beginning to already take over.
No, I don't care. They're welcome to it. We're not good at it.
You always wonder who's in control of robots. And speaking of control and robots, great story came out. Recently, a cafe opened in Tokyo, staffed by robots, controlled by paralysed people with the condition, the ALS condition.
Oh, right, okay. Is that Lou Gehrig's disease?
Yes. Basically, it's the cafe called Dawn. It opened for about a month to do a test run. It's developed by Ori, this cafe and the robots. It was developed by Ori, a startup that specialises in robotics for disabled people. And so in this cafe, they had robots about 4 foot tall, 120 centimetres, that can be operated remotely from a paralysed person's home. And so if you can look it up again on YouTube, you can find this video, people bedridden with ALS, spinal cord injuries, and they've got a screen in front of them, and they're using just their eyes to control the robot, deliver coffee, get the robots moving around. Really interesting idea.
Yeah, it's a good, I mean, obviously.
And they were earning money as well from doing this. Yeah. They give them a salary of $8 an hour, about 1,000 yen an hour, to do this. So it was almost like giving them a job, trying to find a way of getting people who are paralysed to do something. You know, actually be part of the society, take part. I think it's really a really exciting idea.
Yeah, I
mean, certainly robots that could be practically useful for once.
When you when you first read it, you sort of go, "Is this exploiting?" Then you think, "Oh no, you know, I think it's you know."
If you're
locked in completely, like your dream probably isn't to work in a cafe, but if there's some kind of tele remote kind of freedom that you can have and give yourself a bit of your life back. Fair play. Are they allowed to take the robots out of the cafe though? Do they get to take the robot down the street?
Don't think it wants. I think it was just serving.
One
the
of
coffee.
Our robots is missing. They'll say some blokes hijacked it and he's off. He's off.
I don't.
I'm just saying they should. They need to be.
It was
gated.
Just coffee.
They were just serving coffee. Right. Okay.
But nice idea.
It is a nice idea. Excellent.
It kind of gives you a sense of hope.
Yeah. Damn right.
Robots.
Damn straight. We got some questions, Chris.
We do. What have we got? Dario.
What?
Dario.
Dario?
That's the
Oh, yeah,
the
Dario, yes. I was just... Dario G. Do you remember Dario G's Sunshine? Do-do-do. It was named after the man, we don't talk about that so much. It was a dance group from the 80s, Dario G.
Nah.
They did a song called Sunshine, and they... we're named after Dario Gradi, the football manager.
So much knowledge.
So much. Dario.
Yeah.
Hello, Pete, Chris. And that is the order in which it should be.
Hello, Pete, Chris.
Hello, Pete, Chris. I listen to your podcast while I work as a software engineer for a company that sells the Bluetooth speaker that Pete talked about some podcasts ago. From an office in Tijuana, Mexico, I usually put you guys over my annoying co-workers' small talk of the day. I mean, we are basically providing more small talk, really, aren't
I am more entertaining than the office workers of Tijuana, Mexico. Probably.
My question to you guys, mostly Chris, is how do you get over your fear of going abroad? I've been given the opportunity to go to Japan for a year-long training and I'm so scared of accepting and also rejecting. What should I do, Dario?
I'd like to think if we'd carried on that question, or you'd carried it on the first way, how do you get over your fear of growing abroad?
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like extra, you know, it sounds like self-help.
I was chatting to a young lad who's a friend of my friend who's like 15, and I forgot how, do you remember having like growing pains? Where your limbs would just be growing and they'd just ache and it was horrible.
A little bit. I don't think I grew that much.
I know, yeah. I'm only little, but I mean, I grew enough for it to be absolute agony. I was thinking, oh, you couldn't give me £1 million. You couldn't give me £2 grand a week to be 16 again. Miserable time of the year, your life.
Miserable time of the year. I must say,
got a bruise on my arm. Where'd that come from? Oh no,
God.
Oh God.
The running commentary of Pete.
I'm being bullied.
I must say, Dario, what is there to fear of going to Japan for a year? Well, I suppose lots to fear. It's a shame, and I have a lot of people message saying they're scared of going to Japan to work, whatever, but I would just say, do it. I was terrified.
Yeah.
I'd like panic attacks and all sorts of horrible shit.
If you don't like it, you go home, can't you?
Well, yeah. If worst comes to worst, Dario, you fly from Mexico to Japan, you're there for a week or two, you go, oh, no, I don't like it, and then you go home.
Yeah.
And probably lose your job.
So you wouldn't lose your job.
I wouldn't be that bad, but I'd say the worst thing, the thing I fear the most is regret. Mm. I've tried to have a lifestyle that nullifies the possibility of regret.
I mean, I presume that if you're
and
in
you
a
regret
position,
it. If you don't do it, you'll probably regret it. In 10 years, you'll go, oh, crap.
Massively.
Should have done the job in Japan.
I wish I'd gone there instead of spending, you know, thousands of pounds every time I want to go. Now, it's miserable for 2 weeks at a time. Rubbish. If he is in a position where he's going over there to train for a year, he's probably in a pretty high position if they're going to invest that amount of money in a man or woman. And he would probably be quite well looked after financially.
Yeah, it'd be good.
So you'll probably have a better lifestyle than you would if you were like a jet teacher or something.
Well, I mean,
so.
Yeah, I have a lot of people message me who are often worried of going to Japan as a teacher. Some people worried about just going to Japan in general and living there. What I say to you, Dario, is you're one of the lucky few who has a job with money and an opportunity there.
Yeah.
And you would be foolish to not take it. If it goes horribly wrong or you get depressed or it's not good, you can go back. But I suspect you'll quite enjoy it. I do know I have a few friends from Mexico and Japan. They love it. I think you'll have a great time. I would do a leap of faith. Go for it.
Massively.
Because there's nothing worse than having that regret later on in life. Don't be full of regret. Go to Japan and do what you got to do.
Or if you don't want to, just send a robot in your place.
Yeah, send a robot. Control a robot in Japan. It's the same.
How can people get in touch with the show? Robotically or otherwise, Chris?
By the art of the fax machine.
The fax machine.
Abroad Japan podcast at gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week, guys. Keep them coming. Keep the messages coming. Have a great week. No matter where you might be listening from, out there in the big wide world, we will see you next Wednesday.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome,
I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.